This is Truth Matters Church, contending for the faith one verse at a time. Find out more about our ministry at truthmatterschurch.org or simply connect with us on Facebook. In just a few weeks, Pastor Alex Catarroja will launch a new and exciting expository study in the book of Romans. Please subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss a single message. You can also find out more at truthmatterschurch.org or on our Facebook page. In today's message, we hear part two of Pastor Alex's sermon titled A Victorious King, where we hear about the gifts of the Holy Spirit being given out as spoils of Christ's victory over sin and death. But how and to whom these gifts are given might surprise you. We pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here is Pastor Alex.
Jesus, who is victorious, he's giving spoils of that victory, but not everyone is going to get the measure of that gift. And we're going to see more specifically in these offices. So let's look at verse 11. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So here's how Jesus measured out the love gift. Again, it's singular of the Holy Spirit to the church. Here's the first love gift measured out by Christ. It is in the office of an apostle. And the office of an apostle, it's in the strictest sense, a biblical apostle is one commissioned and sent by God with authority to speak God's word and to write God's word. And the office of an apostle, it's very unique to the New Testament only. And also, I'm not going to get into this because this is also for another study, but don't limit your thinking that there's only 12. There was 12 disciples, so now there's only 12 apostles. I'm actually going to, if you're going to ask me how many New Testament apostles were there that we can confirm with Scripture, I'm going to tell you there's 14. And here's the breakdown. So we have the original 12, less Judas, Jesus, made apostles. And I mentioned this in another study, but I wouldn't add Matthias as an apostle, because he was commissioned by Peter and not by God, who was silent. And Peter was disobedient because Jesus specifically told him to wait for the Holy Spirit, but he jumped the gun. But let's see, there's 11 there, and I wouldn't add Matthias. I just kind of put him on the side there. But then we have the apostle Paul, who's writing that we're reading now, right? And I believe that he's the one who truly replaced Judas. And he was commissioned personally by Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. Here's another apostle, and he doesn't get love, but I think it's just because of his personality. Barnabas was an apostle. You're like, huh? Barnabas was an apostle. You're like, well, where do you get that? Well, he was commissioned by the Holy Spirit along with Paul to plant churches. It wasn't Paul to plant churches. It was set aside for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work of the first missionary journey to plant churches. Barnabas was a co-equal with Paul, although his personality, he was very, very silent and very, very meek. And actually, here's another supporting verse for that. Luke called him an apostle along with Paul in Acts 14:14. So that's what you can do when you're kind of study there. And here's another apostle, James, Jesus' brother and the author of the book of James. Paul called him an apostle in Galatians 1, verse 19. Nonetheless, the first spoil of Jesus' victory over sin and death is the love gift given to the church in the office of an apostle. And the office of an apostle, it was a unique role in the church. And how did you know that someone was an apostle back in Jesus' day? It was authenticated by signs and wonders and miracles. And again, that was empowered by the Holy Spirit to confirm their apostleship. And here's an important note. There are no more apostles today. Since the original apostles back in Jesus' day, there is no more love gift of the office of an apostle given to the church. And we'll support that as we kind of go in our study. So what does that say? If you find yourself visiting churches or listening to someone and they call themselves an apostle, and don't look back, just go, say peace, and just go. Because that is a red flag in and of itself. And most likely, without knowing the person, but chances are it's a red flag to other things, I should say. Let's look at the second love gift measured out by Christ and given to the church, and that is the prophets. So just like the office of an apostle, the office of a prophet in its strictest sense was commissioned and sent by God with authority to speak God's word and write God's word. So in function, the apostles and the prophets, you can't just say, Lord, I want to be an apostle. You can't say, Lord, I want to be a prophet. No, you have to be chosen by God, commissioned by God to fulfill that office. And in function, the office of an apostle versus the office of a prophet, it's very similar. They're actually parallel because they were sent by God and they had authority to speak his word. And they also had authority to write down his word. And as we know, in the Old Testament, right, we know that there's prophets in the Old Testament because the Old Testament prophets wrote the Old Testament, and that is clear. And although the New Testament, like who wrote the New Testament? Well, it's primarily written by apostles and those closely associated with the apostles, such as Luke and John Mark. And there were other New Testament prophets. So did you know that before the canon of Scripture was closed, and when I use the word canon, it's a big theological word, but when the collection of God's books were completed, the canon, meaning there's nothing else that could be added or removed, it's a complete set of God's complete revelation of his word, but when it was still open, when the canon wasn't still compiled yet, that there was an office of a New Testament prophet, and we see that in the example of Agabus, if you're reading the New Testament. But here's some other New Testament prophets that you probably didn't say, oh, yeah, he's a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet, right? He was the forerunner for Christ, but he was a prophet in the New Testament. Here's another one that you probably may not have considered as a prophet. Stephen was a prophet. In that great sermon before the Jews, was he not prophesying and foretelling not only what God has done, but the stubbornness of their heart? And did he not share the same faith of those that they stoned the prophets? Stephen was a New Testament prophet. So before the canon of Scripture was closed, one of the love gifts for the church was God gave New Testament prophets. And the office of a prophet was like an apostle. It was often authenticated by signs and wonders and miracles empowered by the Holy Spirit to confirm their prophetic office. And here's another kind of warning. There are no more prophets since the early church. Meaning, if someone calls themselves apostle somebody, same thing. If you come across someone and say, I am prophet such and such or prophetess such and such. Just run. Like literally run. Just get your stuff and go. How can we support by Scripture that there are no longer any more? There's no more offices of an apostle or a prophet. And let's cross reference earlier in our study, Ephesians 2 verses 19 and through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So Paul, the truth there, the foundation by which the church is built upon in faith and salvation and all that, is built upon the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. So here's where he's getting at. This word of God, the 66 books compiled from the beginning of time, or at least recorded at the beginning of time through the Jews, right? And let's say with Moses, throughout history with the prophets, up to the coming of the apostles and their associates who fulfilled the canon of Scripture, what we're holding here, the apostles and prophets serve their function as the love gift of Christ measured out to them, in that we have his complete word in our hands. So if someone says, hey, I'm an apostle, there's no need Jesus Christ, he already measured that out in the beginning of church history. Oh, yeah, and the office of the prophet, he also filled that out throughout time and in the beginning of church history. And God, by his Spirit, also preserved those writings so that to this very day, I have all that I need to know about Jesus, about sin, death. I mean, the full revelation of who God is, at least revealed in Scripture, and who we are in light of that truth. So we're going to pick things up from here. Again, let's look at verse 11 one more time. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. So another office, another love gift that was measured out by Christ and given to a specific office is this office called the evangelist. And by definition, when you hear the term evangelist, evangelist simply means a preacher of the gospel. In its most natural sense, it means a person who preaches Christ where Christ was not known. So I'm going to take a little bit of a tangent here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this office of an evangelist. So first, we need to know this. In Scripture, the term evangelist, it's only used three times in all of the New Testament. So one in our passage here, but it's also used in Acts 21 and 2 Timothy 4. And because there's only a few verses, this is the only time evangelist is used. Let's go ahead and read what we can glean from those passages. Luke calls Philip the evangelist in Acts 21:8. And let's look at that account or that verse. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. So that's another use. We have Philip, who's called the evangelist. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, here's what Paul writes there. He says, but you, Timothy, speaking to Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. And again, evangelist is not used anywhere else in Scripture. So here's what we know about the word evangelist. Philip is the only person in all of Scripture who is called specifically the evangelist. And in Timothy's case, Paul said for him to do the work of an evangelist. So Timothy wasn't an evangelist, but he was to do the work of an evangelist. So the only person in Scripture that's called the evangelist specifically is Philip. So let's look a little bit about Philip. Who's Philip? Well, Philip was one of the seven men chose to oversee the food distribution in Acts chapter 6. And I'm not going to get into this, but many commentators will call Philip a deacon. And I don't agree with that. Scripture doesn't call Philip a deacon. In fact, Luke called him the evangelist in Acts 21:8 that we just read. And I'm going to agree with that. But nonetheless, Philip was not only called the evangelist, but if you read in Acts chapter 8, what did Philip do when he was still around? Do you know that Philip, the evangelist, performed signs and great miracles in Acts chapter 8? That he was directly spoken to by an angel of the Lord and the Holy Spirit in the Ethiopian account, also in that same chapter? And here's something that's pretty neat. Philip was raptured. Literally, after baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, he was raptured and teleported from Gaza to Azotus, which is about 20 miles. So to kind of put a little geography here, but let me kind of give an illustration. Let's say Philip was baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch in Sacramento. After he baptized him, he's now here. You're like, but he was just there a moment ago. So Philip it was a unique office by which Philip was functioning under. And if we compare him to Timothy, who didn't perform any signs and wonders or miracles, nor was he spoken directly by an angel of the Lord or the Holy Spirit. Instead, he learned from the Apostle Paul. He was discipled by the Apostle Paul, and he was asked by the Apostle Paul to do the work of an evangelist. So all that is to say this. In verse 11, I submit to you that this third love gift of the evangelist, like Philip, it was like the office of a true apostle and a prophet. And they were love gifts given by Christ to the church. And those three unique offices, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, they were accompanied by miraculous signs and wonders. And I'm also going to submit to you that the office of an evangelist doesn't exist today. Now, don't misunderstand me here. There still remains those who do the work of an evangelist like Timothy. And a best modern day example of this is missionary preachers. Those who go into a village or a town where Christ is not known and to bring Jesus to them. So in a secondary sense, yes, that still applies. But where I want you to make a distinction is at least when it's talking about the measuring of God's, the Holy Spirit singular to the church in the office of an apostle, prophet, and evangelist, that those were also limited in its scope and function, and it is part of the transition between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now let's get into the fourth love gift, and we're going to get ready to wrap up here. The fourth love gift measured by Christ and given to the church are the shepherds and teachers. And I know our English translation says shepherds and teachers. Actually, the more accurate interpretation, if we can, it's really a hyphen. It's really one and the same. It's not one or the other. They actually come together, but it's more emphasizing a certain role or aspect of this gift. In fact, if you see shepherds or teachers, you know, those with authority in the church, elders, overseers, bishops, it's really the same office. And it has a different title that emphasizes more of a function in that office. And here's where we're like, okay, the apostles, the office of an apostle doesn't exist today. The office of a prophet, it doesn't exist today. And at least the office of an evangelist was very unique. Philip was one of them. No longer exists today. Here's what exists today. Is this fourth love gift in the office of a shepherd and teacher. So in the early church, when apostles were still around, believers committed themselves to the apostles' teachings. And we see that, right? Now that apostles are no longer around, believers are to commit themselves to faithful shepherds who are teachers of God's word. And that is why Paul gave Timothy and Titus instructions to appoint leaders in the churches and see to it that those leaders, those elders, they meet the qualifications. And Paul outlines what it is to be a shepherd and a teacher and what those qualifications are. And that's in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1. So thus, faithful elders and pastors given by Christ to the church. And here's where we got to kind of look at it like this. So after this was compiled, right? And these respective offices that helped get us these words were written down. You know, the perpetual love gift that Jesus continues to give to the church are faithful shepherds and teachers who take the word of God that's already revealed and give it to you. And I think many of us can attest you have some teachers of the word that have a special place in your heart. Some maybe go back way in back in the day, way before your time, and you might read some of their writing and you are benefiting from some of those writings. Right. And they were faithful teachers and faithfully proclaiming the word of God. That's a love gift that continues to give. And there are some that are still around today where we rely on the faithful teaching and preaching, and they have a special place in our heart because they are administering to our spiritual need. Again, that is a love gift measured out by Christ for that specific office. And we as believers are to align ourselves to that. So that was the close of verse 11. Now, why did Christ measure out the gift of the Holy Spirit in such a way that he used some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers? In verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So you see that phrase, equipping the saints? So let me ask you some rhetorical questions. How did the apostles equip the saints? Proclaiming the word of God. How did the prophets equip the saints? Proclaiming the word of God. How did the evangelists equip the saints? Proclaiming the word of God. So how are pastors and teachers throughout church history to equip the saints? Proclaiming the word of God. And I hate using illustrations, but for the sake of trying to bring this point home, I'm going to use illustration. And I put a disclaimer here because anytime we try to put an earthly illustration to a biblical or a truth or reality, it does fall short. But hopefully you will kind of get this illustration. So if we were to look at the kitchen, let's say there's a cook, and there's usually a chief or the executive cook. He's first in command. And then you heard of the term sous chefs? They are second in command, but they also learn from that which is first in command, but they're sous chefs. Okay, so Jesus, right, he is the executive chef. He is first in command. Who comes after him? The apostles and prophets, and they are sous chefs. And here's where we need to be careful when it now comes. Okay, so you have Jesus, let's say he's the executive chef. You have the apostles and prophets, and you can even throw evangelists in there, but let's just say apostles and prophets. They're second in command. How about pastors and teachers? What are we? Those who are in that office? We're not sous chefs. We're not second in command. In fact, we are servers. We are waiters. You know what the responsibility of anyone who is a pastor or teacher in that office? It's simply to see what the word is, right? What was prepared by Christ, by his spirit, through the office of the apostles and prophets. What was revealed, and our goal is to serve that to you and not spill it and not mess you up. I mean, we see those kind of like, let's just say there's a spaghetti dish. You know, you're like, oh, I got a spaghetti dish. And then what happens? You spill it on someone wearing white. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. The executive chef, with the assistance of the sous chefs, this is from him to you. I just simply gave it. That is the primary function of the love gift of pastors and teachers to the Church of Jesus Christ today. And so let's close now. Let's kind of summarize our lesson. Jesus is the victorious King. He vanquished his enemies. He made his enemies his prisoners. He rescued his people, the prisoner of war. He led in procession and public display of his victory and majesty and power. Along the way, he shared spoils of that victory to his people in the love gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And Jesus decided how to give the gift of the Holy Spirit through these specific offices, right? Through the office of an apostle, prophets, both Old Testament and New, evangelists like Philip, and through pastors and teachers throughout church history. Now, application. In the meantime, we as believers, we are to align ourselves to faithful leaders in the church who faithfully proclaim and teach God's word. That's our role. So if you're like, I'm a believer, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to find a shepherd. You're supposed to find someone who's faithful to the word, someone who's going to give it to you straight, someone who's going to give you the full counsel of God. Your role, the application, is find someone like that and place yourself under that teaching. And here's another application. You're like, okay, I can do that. Then know that you play a role as a believer in the life of the church. And that role can, this is where there's a lot of room. That role could be, you could pray. Pray for the church. Pray for the believers. Pray for those who don't know the Lord and God has put in your heart to share the Lord with them. Participation, that can be anything. Community, come together. Giving, give your time, your talent, your resources. If you have a passion or a talent or resources, if you have talent and you have resources and that you think that it can help build up the body, use them and do it cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. The application is we need to recognize that we are part of the body of Christ and we are to do our part in whatever that may be. And in such things, when we align ourselves under his word, and when we look to see that, again, we're a part of the body and how can I contribute? When you do those things, the Father is pleased and Christ is honored. So that is our goal, but for how long? Let's look at verse 13. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So here, let me kind of say it another way. We're to continue to come to church, right? We're to community. We're to come together as a body of believers. We're to be under faithful preaching and teaching. We're to grow and mature in our faith. We're to foster genuine love and affection towards Christ and towards one another. And we're to build one another up until we find ourselves as a local body of believers united in truth, united in faith, united in love, united in devotion to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also to one another. And what's going to happen from here as we continue in our study, Paul's going to get into further application of these truths and the role that we as believers play in the life of the church and also the role that we play in our families. So be sure to continue to stay with us as we look into further application of these truths in our lives. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for downloading the Truth Matters Church podcast. As we learned today, certain gifts of the Holy Spirit were given out as spoils of war, so to speak, evidence of Christ's victory over death and the freeing of those held captive by sin. These unique love gifts from the Spirit included the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherd teachers. And as Scripture shows, the first three of these were for a very specific purpose in the early New Testament church, and they no longer exist today. But the office of the shepherd, pastor, or teacher does carry on today in those who are called to proclaim the Word of God. If you enjoyed today's message, please consider subscribing to this podcast and perhaps sharing it with a friend. And if you feel led to support our ministry, you can do so online at truthmatterschurch.org. Any donation is greatly appreciated. Contending for the faith, one verse at a time. This is Truth Matters Church.